At the feast this year, we had a very sweet lady sit behind us most days. And as is normal, as you're sitting there in a large group, you have the opportunity to come to take a few minutes, introduce yourself, and chat. On more than one occasion, as we were putting our Bibles and our notebooks away, you know, I will have turned around and I'm popping my case open and putting things away, and I would find myself still humming the tune of this last hymn that we sang, or maybe singing along with some of the special music still. And on more than one occasion, she would pipe up and say, "I'm betting that you'll have that tune stuck in your head the rest of the day." And she was right. At the feast each year, brethren, we are literally deluged with music. We sing multiple hymns at 10 services. We hear special music of various kinds. Most of us got to hear the Myers brothers sing "We Will Serve Him" on the webcast, one of their very beautiful, harmonious songs between the three brothers. I believe there used to be four that sang, but again, beautiful and just something that was very enjoyable. In Redmond, there were groups that would gather around the piano after services on more than one occasion and have a hymn sing. Just a group, there might be 20 or 30 or 50 people there that would gather and just for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes after services sing additional hymns. We had a fun show one night that showcased incredible talent in God's family. Music, brethren, has the power to lift our hearts and to inspire our thoughts. And there is something in music that allows us to communicate our deepest feelings, our greatest needs. Did you realize, brethren, that the phrase "sing to the Lord" is a direct quote from 17 places in Scripture? And that singing is referred to in almost 400 places throughout the Bible. Now, if singing is such an intricate and regular part of this book that we claim to be our own, perhaps we should consider whether we're doing our part as regularly and as energetically as we could. In Psalm chapter 47 and verse 6, it says, and I want you to catch the repetition here, it says, "Sing praises to God." Sing praises. "Sing praises unto our King." Sing praises. When we talk about the repetition and the point that is made and then driven home, you know, in order to make sure that we got it. Now, some of you may be saying to yourself, "Well, self, I'm not a very good singer." And so when I see a few smiles and a few heads nodding out there, but when we're here singing hymns, I happen to be out in the hallway and it sounded beautiful from that. And yes, I know we have some voices in the support hymns. But brethren, each one of us as part of the body is just that little bit of amplification that takes the songs, that takes the hymns, that takes the praise service to a higher level. Later in the book of Psalms, we're told to make a joyful noise and to bring psalms before God. So today, brethren, I'd like us to consider putting the power of song, and specifically worshipful music such as hymns, into our lives a little more regularly. As we often do in messages, we ask the who, what, when, where, why type of thing. So let's start with why. Why should we sing personal praises to God? There are a host of reasons that we might sing, and one of the primary reasons that I would mention is that God has given us so much to be thankful for. In Psalm chapter 13 and verse 6, King David constantly talked about, and of course the Psalms are written in a musical fashion, and so many of them have been crafted into our hymns, but when we read them, do we simply read over them? Next time you read the Psalms, I would like you to think about it from a musical standpoint and recognize how many of them are hymns that we sing and that we know, and that actually, if you stop for a moment to read that verse, and then wait for it, here comes the tune that you're used to singing, some of us for many, many, many years. Psalm chapter 13 and verse 6 says, "I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." Well, brethren, there are times that we feel, as the Apostle Paul said, there are times that I have lived in great want, and there are times that I have lived in plenty. And so we may feel that, and any given day, sometimes in the same day, we feel both sides of that emotion. And yet, David recognized that he would sing to the Lord. He would bring praises to God because of the blessings that he had. So that's one of the reasons why we would want to keep song and keep praises, and the Psalms specifically, in our thoughts. As I began to develop a short list from this standpoint of why, I found myself just automatically jumping to certain hymns in my mind, if you will. So the first bullet that I have under here says, when we consider how tremendously this physical nation has been blessed, beyond any other nation on the face of this earth right now, we would argue, we could be generous in our praise and appreciation to God. And page number 126, America the Beautiful, would come to mind. So again, if you give yourself a little quiz, a little homework to do this week, it's like, okay, what do I see around me? All right, let's see if I've got a hymn within visual. Okay, the flag, America the Beautiful. So many things can prompt us and lead us back to God if we have our eyes and our ears and our hearts open to do that and to seek that. Again, make it your homework. Make it your project this week. At many times in our lives, we seek guidance and clarity. And in a time of uncertainty, we might look to page number 53. Lord, teach me that I may know, that I may know the way that I should go. So when we're looking for guidance, when we're looking for Father, I have a couple of options here. Please give me the wisdom, give me the discernment, giving me the ability to divide and see if there is indeed a better way and leave it in His hands. But Lord, teach me that I may know. At other times, we may know exactly where we're supposed to be. You know, you realize that you have heard how many sermonettes, how many sermons, how many hours and endless hours have you spent on the Bible study course or with the Bible in your lap? Those teachings may have long been a part of your lives. And some of us, the time frame is shorter. But we're going to walk many of those same steps that other people have. You might think of page number 16. For even from my youth, O God, by thee have I been taught. So when we look at our children, for even from my youth, some of us don't have children, but we have a spouse, we have loved ones, we have grandchildren. Those same things can come to mind if we're thinking in that way. At times in our life, we fall short of God's expectations and we seek His forgiveness and we come before Him with a repentant attitude. You might write down page number 24, in thy loving kindness, Lord, turn me not away. Don't turn your back on me. I may have turned mine on you momentarily. I'm coming back as a child and I'm tugging at your coat and I'm at your apron strings. I need your help. Please don't turn away. Turning to God's hymns are also a fantastic way to prepare ourselves, again, on this concept of why, for the Sabbath. We put our mind at ease. We look forward to this blessing that God has prepared for us. And we bring ourselves to the conclusion of the work week and thank God for that, for the miles we've traveled, for the relationships and decisions we've needed to make. Thank you, Father, for bringing us through another week. We could go on all day with this line of thinking, really. We have nearly 200 hymns. And we recognize that the pages of this book come from the pages of this book. And so when we turn to this, and the music of this helps put our heart in the same place that this book would, it's an opportunity, it's a blessing, it's something that we can use as a tool, brethren, something to keep us focused. So why do we sing praises to God? Because worshipful music brings with it the elevation of our spirits, and assists us in tapping into the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. If we express our feelings, our desires, our thanks, our gratitude through the hymns. Next, let's consider when. When would it be appropriate to sing praises to God? And really, that's any time and all the time, brethren. Psalm chapter 104 and verse 33. Psalm chapter 104 and verse 33, it says, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being. Are we beginning to see, brethren, just how much a part of our lives the hymns can be because of where they come from? You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 11, we're told that God's instruction, His teachings, His law needs to be in our thoughts and in our hearts and on our lips at all times. Let's consider the question of when again. Tells us that we're supposed to teach our children diligently. And what a fabulous example it sets for our children to see and to hear us walking around our home or our grandchildren. Mr. Williams talks about he practices his songs, and at some point his granddaughter says, Papa, enough already, you know? But you're still planting that seed. They see that we are indeed inviting God into our thoughts and into our hearts and into our actions, and He's a part of our daily life. It's not just, oh, you dressed up and you go to church and for 4 hours there on a Saturday. No, He's part of us. And it elevates us and it expands us and it brings a smile to our face. Maybe you don't have children at home. But maybe your spouse has had a tough day. Maybe we've been partially responsible for that at times. And the hymn that we are humming as we walk by erases some of that, softens some of that, and plants the tune that will be stuck in their head for the rest of the day. And so it has healing qualities, as music has often been described. Brethren, they don't have to just be the hymns either. Worshipful music has that same quality, whether it's by our group or not. And I know I have mentioned this to some of you in the past, but about 40-plus years ago, one of my earliest musical memories was an album that my mom used to play. And it had stories of many of the biblical heroes. And there was a story of Joseph, and there was the story of Daniel in the lion's den, and there was the story of Samson, mighty Samson, his mother made him swear to serve the Lord, do no wrong, wear his hair thick and long, vow to God who made him strong and never cut his hair. Those tunes, those words are indelibly etched in my mind because those early memories started to teach me of God's stories and the material in his Bible. So when we do that for our children, we again set a wonderful example, and music is never out of style, never out of place. When we sit in our house, when we walk by the way, while we're in the car driving to work, before we pray, you pick the time, brethren. You pick the song. You pick the opportunity and the place. Just go with it. Next, I'd like to ask how. How should we sing praises to God? Or where, maybe? How and where, if you put the two of those together. And if we come before God with a proper attitude, I think the how is really unimportant. We've read the Psalms earlier here today, and we know that King David sometimes came quietly and humbly before God, probably in his prayer closet, if you will. And there are other times that he sang and he danced, and you know, somebody from the outside may have thought, there goes a crazy man. And so whether you dance around your house, in your socks, sliding across the floor, playing your air guitar and singing the hymns, doesn't really matter. Or whether you hum to yourself while you're working in your flower or your vegetable garden, the how is unimportant. But where our heart and our mind is really what's important. Today, brethren, we've scratched just the surface of a very, very broad concept of music and hymns and praise to our God. We have the opportunity, and I believe actually the responsibility, to let our voices rise before God in praise, in thanks, in needs, and in moments of brotherly concern for others. Psalm chapter 150 and verse 6. Psalm chapter 150 and verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And so, brethren, whether we do it in our prayers, whether we do it in our songs, whether we do it in passing, whether we have a favorite plaque on the wall in our kitchen, doesn't really matter. We are told directly from the pages of our Bible that we're to praise and honor our great God, and we're specifically told it to do it many times in song. Brethren, don't worry about your technical proficiency. Don't worry if you forget a few words. Don't worry about what you're wearing or who might see you. Because our Creator appreciates the joyful noise that each one of us brings, because he recognizes the hearts that are behind those voices. Brethren, sing often and sing loud, because our Father in heaven is listening.